To God, I would like with great pleasure to introduce you to one of the most wonderful Vaishnavas on earth, my very dear God brother and friend, His Holiness Shripad Chitrai Maharaj. And of course, we've already introduced you to Bamsi Lakshmi. Shripad Paramadvaiti Maharaj. Shripad Maharaj is one of the very senior disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he really captured the heart of Srila Prabhupada by his great dedication to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. I think you all know his name. It is a legend in the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada, at one time, he gave a title to Chitrari Maharaj, that he was the incarnation of book distribution. And not only that, but he so deeply studied Guru Maharaj's books that in every word he speaks, he is distributing the eternal message of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And Srimad Paramadvaiti Maharaj, what can I say? He's practically the proprietor of Vrindavan. Yeah, this means you are very dear to Srimati Radha. Srimati Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan. Her expansion, Vrinda Devi, is in charge of this holy dham. And for her to entrust so much of the property of the holy dham to Maharaj means that he is very dear to her heart. And certainly one of the most powerful preachers in all the world, as you will see. He has established wonderful farms and communities, South America, Europe, all over the world. He has personally started 50 centers in the world. Yeah! So we can understand that Guru Maharaj's mercy is truly flowing through both of these places on a very personal basis. Chitrari Maharaj ki. Yeah! Chitrari Maharaj ki. Yeah! Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Sridhar Dev Maharaj ki. So, should we have kirtan outside for a few minutes and then you speak? It's nice to know, just as the sun is setting, you can chant and ask. Can you sing for a few minutes? You will give us great blessings. So everyone go out and we'll have kirtan.
It's not that we don't have anything in common, although many of us have not met before. We have much in common, common fatherhood and family lineage, so to speak. It is like a family, actually, the Vaikuntha. We were discussing this morning the incident of Jai Vijay and how they left the Vaikuntha and how the Lord spoke of their so-called offense to the Kumars. And when speaking about it, he spoke in the plural, rather than in the dual. You know, in Sanskrit there's singular, dual, and plural. So, while speaking about the two guards, he really spoke, he indicated that the whole of Vaikuntha was implicated in one sense, but in a greater sense, what he really indicated was that the whole of Vaikuntha was his family, and they were all intimately connected, and whatever any one did, the rest were ready to stand behind. So, such is the reality of the devotees of the Lord, that ultimately they may have differences between one another, but they're ready to stand behind one another at the same time. You know the story of Pandavas, they were 5 against 100. But should the whole of the group be attacked, they were 105 against everyone else. So this is a wonderful thing about bhakti, that there is a greater harmony to be found in the difference, and the differences that exist. We are 4 differences. Don't press too strongly for unity, but we should press for a higher unity which includes the differences. Otherwise it won't be bhakti. The general idea of spirituality is equanimity, equality of vision. But we are not very much interested in this idea. This is only a beginning idea. Rather, we are interested in a different type of vision. Differences that don't arise from sense perception, but differences that arise from real spiritual sentiments in the hearts of pure devotees of the Lord, which give rise to the innumerable pastimes and incarnations of the Lord. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Deshu Sinapriyaha. Well, it is an interesting statement. There he expresses that I see everyone equally. And then he says, but I am partial to my devotees. So two aspects of the Lord are speaking in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. There are 3 aspects to the Lord we find from Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdate. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam. The absolute truth is jnanam advayam, means non-dual. Non-dual. It's not that Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan are different. They're one and the same, but they are different perceptions of the Lord by different types of realizers. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. So in this verse, Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Deshu Sinapriya. You know this verse from Bhagavad Gita? Very nice verse. 2 features of the Lord are speaking there. 2 features of the one Lord, Paramatman and Bhagavan. Brahman has nothing to say. Therefore we're not interested in that very much. We're interested in having a relationship with the Lord, and the Brahman is rather silent. And those who go there, they stay silent forever. And they have nothing to say. Nothing bad to say, but they have nothing good to say either. So, as Paramatma, the Oversoul, through whom the Lord comes indirectly in connection with this world, the Lord says, I'm equal to everyone. So this Paramatma is equal to everyone, impartial. And you know this Upanishadic analogy of the 2 birds on the tree. One is witnessing, the other is eating the fruits, both bitter and sweet. So the witnessing bird, that is the Paramatma. And he is witnessing the activities of the living entity and then taking him from tree to tree to taste bitter or sweet fruits accordingly. So he is equal. He has equal vision. But when the Lord says, after saying I'm equal to everyone, then he says, but I'm partial to my devotees. So it is not the Paramatma who is speaking then, but it is Bhagavan, teacher of the Lord. He has a partiality. In this world, partiality, that will be a very bad thing. If you're partial to someone, then you're unfair. Something like that. So if the Lord is thought to be partial, then people will think there's a bad quality in him. But actually the devotees find this as a wonderful quality of the Lord, that he's partial to his devotees. This is Bhagwan, and this makes up the spiritual world. The variety that does not compromise unity that the spiritual world is all about. So we are all for unity, and we are all of the same family in a sense, but there's much difference still amongst us. And sometimes we clamor for eradicating the differences, for finding unity, but we should try to see in a higher sense that there is unity in the diversity. We are all moving in according to our own faith as this great ideal comes to us of its own accord. If the Lord exercises himself in relation to us, only can we know about him. Otherwise it is not possible. So it is on his call, so to speak, that we are coming in his direction, however gradually. We have nothing to say in the matter, but all of us moving in a gradual way. They said that all of the flowers in the garden do not blossom at the same time. But in this garden, if you don't pull up the roots at least, then certainly they will all blossom in due course. And blossom in different ways also. And that is the wonder and beauty of bhakti, and that is the harmony of bhakti. The higher harmony of bhakti. Especially in the higher stages of development, then we're going to have some partiality towards a particular group, towards a particular sector. In touch with the Lord is one, but by rasa manandam, then he is different. So we're interested in bhakti and rasa manandam, so we're interested in the differences, and it's wonderful to meet all of you who have some differences on some level that we have not met before, and we have maybe style of kirtan, whatever it may be, and your ways, but there's an underlying unity that we can very much feel in your devotion to our Guru Parampara, and we're very happy to meet all of you. So I would like to see that all of you and all of us together, we must go on progressing in Krishna consciousness gradually, and gradually means that just like if you're cooking, then cooking happens gradually. But if you come into the kitchen and I'm cooking and you ask when will everything be ready, and I said it's coming gradually, but still the vegetables are in the go down and the fire is not on, you'll say, what do you mean gradually? So the fire has to be on also. So if you put the vegetables on the fire, then it will gradually cook. So the fire means the association of the advanced devotees like Raghunath Swami Ki Jai. This is very nice that you have taken shelter of him. This Mahat Kripa, the mercy of great souls, we are absolutely and entirely dependent upon this. In terms of our particular ideal, you know that our ideal is Braj Bhakti, and that is the unique thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, to taste the Prema Niyas, the essence of the of Prema Bhakti, and to give Raga Marga Bhakti to everyone. So this is our objective, this is our ideal, and it's very, very high, and the more we move in that direction, the more we realize how high and how rare it is. This is one of the characteristics of pure devotion. When we move from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti, then this aspect of this characteristic of pure devotion will become more known to us, how rare it is. But in the second stage, developmental stage of bhakti, from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti, then we'll have the patience to deal with the reality of how rare it is to achieve pure devotion for Lord Krishna. At present, we may not have so much patience, so we'll tell everybody, it's just around the corner. Soon you'll get, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But actually, it is a big, big, big topic. It is a great thing, a very high ideal. But we must try to keep that ideal, because in the language of Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja, which is very, very beautiful in this connection, he told us that we shall judge a person by their ideal. This is the standard of Mahāprabhu. We try to appreciate this point, it is very wonderful. Ordinarily, we judge a person by his past. If we are a little bit advanced, we'll think, let us not judge him or her by their past. Forget about the past. Let us judge them based on the present. But Mahāprabhu was given a more generous idea. Let us judge them not by the past, let us judge not by the present, but let us judge by the ideal that they hold, because that they will become in due course of time. So, we try to keep the highest ideal, although this seems impossible. The closer we get to it, the more impossible it seems. It is a philosophical reality that the closer the finite comes to the infinite, the more it realizes its own finiteness. That's why we find so many great devotees speaking so humbly, and as if they are so far from the truth, and we ourselves are thinking, finally I could have that kind of bhakti expressed by Narottam Thakur, for example, Thakur Bhakti Vinod in their beautiful songs and poems. So, it is a very, very high ideal, and we should try to keep that. Pujalaragata Gaurava Bhangi Madhula Sadhujan Vishai Rangi. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our great, our grandfather and great grandfather, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he used to say this, that the feet of Rupa and Raghunath, in particular these two, are most important to us in terms of our ideal of Punatodhura Rasasa Bhakti Sriyam, what is given by Mahāprabhu. Anāti tacharim sarat kṛnāyābhatim koro samaparita arpaitam unatodhura rasam sa bhakti sriyam. That unatodhura rasam, this is in terms of where the possibility lies for us in connection with this, Sri Rūpa and Raghunath are most important. Therefore, Rūpa Raghunatha Padhi Hoyile Ākruti. This is given by Narottam Das Thakur in his description of the gradual development of bhakti. That Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we will keep the ideal of Rupa Raghunath above our heads. We should know what that ideal is. This is the point. We should know what it is. That's a very high thing. Keep it above our heads as worshipable and focus our attention upon where we are in the whole culture. In the language of Srila Prabhupada, this was explained, that don't try to see God, but act in such a way as that God will want to see you. He had a way of breaking it down very nicely for our understanding. So, it is a high ideal, let's just try to keep that ideal and culture that ideal and evaluate one another in terms of that ideal, because that ideal we will become in due course. Although now we are full of human frailties and shortcomings, somehow this great ideal has come to us, and we have in common the fact that we've embraced that ideal, as difficult as it is to approach it. So in the company of one another we can get courage and strength and enthusiasm to go in that direction, and especially in the company of great souls, that Mahat Kripa, their grace, that will be everything to us. For Raghunuga Bhakti, for Braj Bhakti, our objective, we are dependent solely and exclusively upon this, Mahat Kripa. So we must keep very close to the company of great soul. There's no other way to get it. You can get Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti, but you cannot get Priti. Jiva Goswami has written Satsandarbha, and after writing the Bhakti Sandarbha, someone will think, why write anything more? There he has given 200 kinds of bhakti, mixed types of bhakti. and then sort it out amongst all of that, what is the real Shuddha Bhakti? Hmm? And after he's done that, we think, what more can be said? But still he writes Kriti Sandharva, the final end. So beyond Shuddha Bhakti, by which you can know Bhagavan Naya, another idea is there. That is the idea Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And that is available only by Mahakripa, by the Kripa of those great souls who know about such. So you shall try to keep their company, and that will be the fire on which we will gradually cook and be really fired up. But offerable, that is to say, to the Supreme Lord. So you are all very intelligent people, devotees of the Lord, very highly intelligent, that you know, have taken shelter of Sripad Bhagavanath Swami. I've known him for many, many years. Long time, our history goes back, since he was a brahmachari in New Vrindavan at the Brahmachari farm there. He was a pujari when I met him there, taking care of Shaligram Srila. And we had talks on occasion when I used to visit there. And I remember imploring him that you should take sannyas, you're a very nice brahmachari. And the evidence of his qualification was his own reluctance to do so. We should not be so eager to thrust ourselves in the foreground. And if we know what this is about, we'd be a little more anxious to stay in the background, because as I say, it's a very, very big subject. And if we are to go into the foreground, it will be with this in mind. Even if we are to lead many devotees and be teacher for them, from another side we are students as well. Śrīla Śrīdhara Mahārāja used to like to say, we are all students forever. So such is the subject that we are never to reach the end of that. But we should have to have this kind of thinking in mind to be any kind of leader, and this quality is very much found in Śrīpāda Bhagavanātha Swāmī. So he's made a good choice. As much as he tries to stay out of the limelight, you must push him into the forefront. That is your business. His business is to stay, try to stay in the background, and your business to bring him out. Everyone must know, of course, how much they can digest. We should not reserve. If we are to serve prasadam to anyone, we should try to put as much on the plate as possible. In a way to make them feel comfortable about eating and without any inhibitions. To make them relax and feel, no, you can eat as much as you like, don't worry about anything. So we will try to put as much on the plate as possible, but who is eating, he will know how much he can digest, and then he will say, no. And that is up to him. So it is not from our side that we should think, I only glorify him so much, because it will go to his head, maybe he'll get indigestion, who knows what. No. Don't think like that. You give yourself fully and wholly according to the measure of your conviction. Sing the praise of your good guides, and then they will dictate how much they can digest and so forth. I know that Radha Swami has great power of digestion. To accept on behalf of our Guru Parampara so much savor from so many devotees, and is evidenced by the fact that it's brought some 200 of you here tonight. We are astounded by his preaching capacity. It's very wonderful. So try to catch it up and take it very deeply within your hearts and make this your life. There, the world is clamoring and calling us in many ways, but there is another world. And great souls like Radhanath Swami are bringing us the news of that world that is the real world. We should try to stay within the flow of that world and make this sadhana our life, actually. And by doing so, that we will easily arrive at the sadhya, at the perfection, in due course. So I'm very happy to have the association of all of you. It is a great joy for myself, and I know the Paramabriti Maharaj and all of our devotees here as well. This place, Brinda Kunj, founded by Shripad Paramabriti Maharaj, is like another home for us in Vrindavan. We live just on the other side of Rangaji Mandir at Rupanuga Bhajan Ashram. This whole area is owned by Govindaji, and then it is mostly subleased to Rangaji, whom we sublease from. Our devotees, Rupanuga Bhajan Ashram and Brinda Kunj, we are always coming back and forth, and that's very, to me, reminiscent of at least in my mind, what it must have been like, Sri Vrindavan Dham at the time of the Goswamis, immediate disciples of Srimad Mahaprabhu. They had so many temples, and they would meet for kirtan and take prasad and discussion of Krishna's pastimes at the different temples and places of pilgrimage and the pastimes of the Lord with their devotees, institutional considerations aside. Really, they demonstrated the ideal of institution. Institution is necessary because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, what is it? And it is like a great waterfall of love of God. How close can you get to the big waterfall? You can appreciate it from a distance, but you cannot approach it. But if someone comes and excavates the land and makes a lake out of that waterfall, then you can approach that great flow and take advantage of it, drinking, bathing in there, and so forth. So the Goswamis, they took the ecstasy that Srimad Mahaprabhu was all about. That great waterfall of Mahabhava,